Amen. I appreciate that special. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. This weekend we do want to, of course, remember those men and women who have given their lives for our nation that has given us and purchased the freedom that we have. But I want to tell you about another freedom that's been purchased. It was purchased by the blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's the freedom we have from sin and death and hell. That's pretty good. That's something praiseworthy, isn't it? It's a reason to show up and worship our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's a reason to live for Him day by day. It's a reason to dig into His Word so that we can know Him. It's a reason to faithfully serve Him. I'm praying that God will help our church to be a different kind of church. I'm praying God will help our church to be the kind of church that really lives for the Lord Jesus Christ, and that it's not just a show, it's not just a Sunday morning event. It's an everyday thing in our lives, that Jesus Christ is our Savior. We love Him and we're living for Him day by day. We're putting off the old man and putting on the new man, and we're motivated not out of fear for God's judgment, but out of love for God's grace. And you ought to fear God's judgment. But if you're a partaker of His grace, you don't have to worry about the judgment. The judgment of the those who are lost. Now, we have a judgment to face. It's a judgment to examine our works, whether we've lived for Christ since we were saved, and that ought to motivate us too. But I'm telling you, dear friend, that when we consider all that God has done for us through His Son, Jesus Christ, it ought to move us to live for Him. And can I just be real with you today? There are so many so-called Christians in our nation today, in our town today, that they're only Christian in name. They go to a worship experience on Sunday morning, and then they live like unsaved people. They live like the world the rest of the week. And friends, I don't want us to be like that. Amen. God doesn't want us to be like that. Amen. He wants us to be changed. He wants us to be different. And that's what this church is about. We're about being what God's called us to be. And I get it. That may make some of us uncomfortable here today, but my purpose as your pastor is to not make you comfortable. Right. Brother Pinkovich came and he said that he's from Russia. Brother Pinkovich is from, not Russia, but Belarus. And when he came, he visited many churches. He said, "Too many American churches are too comfortable." Was that pretty good? Did I do it? All right. Yeah. And I don't want us to be comfortable. I want us to be challenged and convicted by the Word of God. And so as we dig into Ephesians now, I pray that God will stir up our hearts and change us, make us what He wants us to be. And by the way, the more I study my Bible, the more I find out what I thought was true is not always true. I've got ideas about the way God is and the way church is and the way the Bible is and the way this Christian life is, but I've got those ideas just because it's what I've heard my whole life. And did you know that what you've heard your whole life is not always right? Did you know that? As a matter of fact, a lot of times it's absolutely in contradiction with the Word of God. And that may happen to us as we study the Word of God, and praise God for it, because we want to be biblical. Not traditional. Amen. We want to be biblical, not cultural. Amen. So let's get in the Bible this morning. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. If you're able, please stand with me to honor the reading of the Word of God. This is God's Word written to the Lord's churches. And as we look at this letter written originally to the church at Ephesus, we understand that these truths apply directly to Calvary Missionary Baptist Church, Mulder, Oklahoma, 2017, right now today. So hear God as He speaks to our church today. Ephesians 1 and verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. I pray you would convict our hearts today. Make us what you want us to be, Father. Just help us to realize the blessings and the riches and the fullness that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to understand what you've chosen us to, what you've predestined us to, what you have before ordained that we ought to be in Christ. Lord, help me now from nothing without you. I pray if there's anyone here who is yet unsaved, that today they would repent of their sin and unbelief. They would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and trust in him with all their heart and call out to you, receive the gift of eternal life. And for all who are saved, Lord, help us to be repentant before you. Lord, help us to do what you've called us to do, to see who we are in Christ and to live that way each day. Forgive us and help now, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. So this morning we see that all spiritual blessings come from the Lord Jesus Christ. All spiritual blessings in heavenly places are in Christ, and they come from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll notice that he says that we need to bless God. Bless God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This word blessed is a word that really is only a description of God. In Luke 1, verses 67 and 68, it says, And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. In Mark 14 and verse 61, it says, Again, the high priest asked him and said, Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? In Romans 1:25, it talks about the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. In 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 3, the Bible says, Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. And in 1 Peter 1 and verse 3, the Bible says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And we are challenged here today to bless our God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless him. Praise his holy name. Give honor and glory to the Lord. Now, it's in our nature to want the focus to be on us, but the reality, friends, is our focus ought to be on God. Our attention ought to be on God. And we ought to bless him. We ought to worship. We ought to praise him today because of what he has done for us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice that it says that he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Every spiritual blessing, every godly thing that's in your life, every heavenly thing that you have to look forward to in eternity is because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, guys, this is basic and you get it, but you got to understand the significance of it. Without Christ, we have nothing. Spiritually, without Christ, we are nothing. We see people in the world today, they have religion, they have spirituality. And people say, well, I don't believe in Jesus, but I'm a very spiritual person. Listen, they don't have any spiritual blessings without Christ. There is no heaven for us without Christ. It's everything hinges on him. Everything flows through him. Everything is because of him. And we ought to bless the name of God because of his son, Jesus Christ. and all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, all hope that we have for eternal life is all because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he became a man, because he lived a sinless life, because he gave that life on the cross at Calvary, because he rose again the third day, all of that is why we are blessed today with spiritual blessings. It's why we have faith and hope and love. It's why we have hope and eternal life. It's why we can be brothers and sisters in Christ. It's why we can understand the Word of God. It's why we can have the peace and comfort of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It's all because of Jesus. You guys with me today? Listen, Jesus is everything for us. He is all and in all. He's everything. And blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, because he's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, and he's done it in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to talk about some of these spiritual blessings today. Now, sometimes we are creatures that swing way too far one way or another. On the one hand, some people think that they're doing pretty good. You know, you look out at the world, you compare yourself with the world. You can start feeling pretty good about yourself if you just watch the news at night. But on the other hand, some of you feel like you're not worth anything at all. A lot of times you're really down on yourself and you're kind of depressed and you feel worthless and you're really discouraged and you feel like you're not worth anything. Anybody ever feel like that? And I'm amazed with myself because I spend a lot of time here thinking I'm worthless and I spend a lot of time over there thinking I'm better than everybody else. How does that happen? But what we need to understand is that everything that is good about us is Christ. We don't have any righteousness of our own. We're not any better than anybody else. Our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We are only righteous because we have put on the Lord Jesus Christ by faith in him. And on the other hand, we're not worthless because God has chosen us in Christ to be adopted as sons. God has chosen us in Christ to make us joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. God has chosen by his grace to bless us with all spiritual blessings. We're not worthless. Christ gave his blood for us. And so we're wrong over there, we're wrong over there, and where we need to be is right here in the Word. So we are chosen, friends. And what are we chosen to? Now people get caught up with these verses, get tripped up a little bit about what all this means, but I think the Bible does a good job of just speaking for itself. So let's just read what the Bible says, okay? Is that all right with you guys? I hope so, because that's what we're going to do. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. By the way, I was not very good at English, but I love the Apostle Paul for this. Do you realize that from verse 3 to verse 12, this is one sentence? I got in trouble for this at school all the time. They call those run-on sentences. I love run-on sentences. I got a lot to say. I'd like to put it all in one sentence. Praise the Lord for colons and semicolons. Right? So Paul wouldn't have done very good in a modern English class, but it was great. It was perfect for the Word of God, right? So this is all one thought. Praise God, bless his holy name. Why? According, verse 4, as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. So we have been chosen in God. Now who has been chosen? Well, he's writing to the church at Ephesus. He's writing to people who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and have been baptized and are serving in the local church. You guys with me? It's important we understand that. When he says us, when he says we, he's talking to those in the church. And so he's talking to them and he says, God has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. But what has he chosen us to? That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And what God is saying is God has chosen those who are in Christ that we would be holy and blameless before him in love. In other words, if you're saved, God has chosen, God has preordained that you would be holy and blameless before God. Anybody here feel holy or blameless today? Listen, I'm telling you right now that this is the work that God will do in your life. God will. God has chosen for those who are in Christ to be holy and blameless, to be holy and without blame. This is something that he has set up before the foundation of the world, and he wants us to be holy. The word holy means sacred. It means physically pure, morally blameless, and it means ceremonially consecrated. And God is saying, I want you to be separated. I want you to be sacred. I want you to be set apart. I want you to be pure. I want you to be holy. And that is what God has chosen us to be. God has not chosen us to say a prayer, 1, 2, 3, repeat after me, and then go on out in the world and live like the world. No, he's called us to be holy. He's chosen us to be separate. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. God wants us to be different. He wants us to be separated. By the way, when you study your Old Testament, you look at all of those ceremonial cleansings and washings and all the purifications they had to do, all of that was to point to you that God wants us to be clean. He wants us to be holy. He wants us to be separate. He wants us to trust in Christ with all our heart and get out of the world and quit living like the world. If I hear one more person use this excuse to say, well, I'm just trying to be like Jesus. You know, he hung out with sinners and publicans and all that stuff. Listen, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. People use that as an excuse to go to the bar and get drunk. I can assure you, Jesus didn't go to the bar and he didn't get drunk. And we're not going to, God help us if we try to use the example of Christ to justify our sin. You say, well, we're just supposed to let the world go? No, we're supposed to go to the world and tell them about Christ. We're in the world, but we're not to be of the world. And God has chosen us to be holy, and he's chosen us to be blameless, to be without blame. This means unblemished. It means to be without blame. It means to be spotless. It means to be faultless. You say, well, Brother Isaac, I'm a long way from that. Yeah, we all are. But one day, God will make us blameless, perfectly spotless before him, because of the love of Jesus Christ. Real quickly, you'll remember that salvation is the miracle of the moment. You repent, you trust Christ, you're saved. And then begins a process of sanctification where we strive to be more like Christ. We put off the old man, we put on the new man. But one day there will be a glorification. And God will take this old, broken, sinful, wicked, carnal, fleshly body, and he will make it 100% like Jesus. Nobody's excited about that. What's wrong with you people? How many of you had a bad thought this morning? Can I see your hands? You had a bad thought? Was it directed towards your spouse or your children? I'm just curious. How many of you had some aches and pains when you got up this morning? There's like little kids raising their hand, isn't that? Just wait. How many of you have some difficulties overcoming temptation and sin? How many of you are sick of all that? That's what I'm saying. He's chosen us to be blameless. He's chosen us to be faultless. He's chosen us to be spotless. One day that's going to happen, friends, and we ought to be excited about that. Right now, I am trapped in this carnal, fleshly body with this carnal mind, and one day that's going to be gone. Praise God. Blessed be God that he has chosen us before the foundation of the world. God knew who would trust him, and he knew that when you trusted him, he would make you like his son Jesus all the way. We are foreknown by God, predestinated to be conformed to the image of his dear son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He has called us to be holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Colossians 1:21. And you, that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. And God's gospel has been given to those, and those who believe the gospel, they are saved, and they will be presented before God holy and unblameable and unreprovable before the Lord. Jude 1:24, Jude verses 24 and 25. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. And I'm just trying to tell you today that we ought to be rejoicing in the fact that God has chosen us to be like Christ, that God is going to make us holy and he's going to make us blameless, and we will be able to stand faultless before the throne of God. And it's not because you're so good, and it's not because you live such a great life, it's not because you're better than everybody else, it's not because we're missionary Baptists, it's because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We ought to rejoice in that today. Give glory to God for that. By the way, before him, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. That's the same thing that Jude said there in verse 24. Faultless before the presence of his glory. When I'm around my friends, a lot of you are my friends, I feel pretty comfortable just being me. But there are other people I get around who I think maybe look on me a little more harshly, maybe judge me, or maybe somebody I look up to that I care a lot about what they think about. You know, like, I don't care what Brian thinks about me, but there are other people in the world when I get around, I care what they think about me, and I'm concerned. I'm concerned about how I act in front of them. I'm concerned about how I am when they see me, when they're watching me. Do you guys understand what I'm saying? We're going to be faultless before God. I'm telling you what I'm trying to make you understand this morning is that when you are at the judgment before the God of heaven, you will be holy and blameless. Now, I don't know how you've lived, but I know how I've lived, and this is incredible to me. We're going to be able to be before. That literally means in the front of, in the eyesight of. God's going to look at you, and when he sees you, he's not going to see how sorry you've been, how wretched you've been, what a sinner you've been. He's going to see you holy and blameless, just like his son. Praise the Lord. He's chosen us to be holy and blameless before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. Praise the Lord. Not only has he chosen us to be holy and blameless, but he has predestined us to adoption and praise. Let's go on here and look at verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. When you repent of your sins and put your faith in Jesus Christ, you are a child of God. I want you to look with me real quick, please, to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, find verse 14. He's predestinated us. Well, who is us? Remember, he's talking to those in the church. What about those in the church? Well, they're adopted. They're predestinated unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. Romans 8, 14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be also glorified together. He goes on down at verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth and plain together till now. And not only they, but also ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for it? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. So we are adopted as sons. How? Because we've trusted in Christ. And when you trusted in Christ, you were quickened or made alive by the Holy Spirit. The moment of your salvation, the Holy Spirit came inside of you. He lives inside of you and dwells every believer. You guys with me still? The Holy Spirit indwells everybody who's saved. And when you get saved, His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Saved people know that they're saved. Amen. There are dozens of evidences or assurances that God gives us, and this is just one of them, but I think the most important one, the Holy Spirit living inside of you, bearing witness with your spirit, so you know you're a child of God. And if you're a child of God, then you're a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know that you and I can really understand this, but you got to understand that we are lost, wicked, awful sinners who deserve eternity in the lake of fire, and God takes us because of faith in what Christ did for us, and He puts us right up here on the same level as His Son, Jesus Christ. Friends, this is amazing. This is incredible. This is what we're predestined to the adoption of sons. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. And I remember growing up singing, I'm a child of the King, and I didn't get it. And I think I'm just now starting to get a glimpse of it, friends. We are a child of the King of Kings. Amen. Joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And we are, with hope, looking to the future. Why? Back in Romans chapter 8, he says that we have hope because we haven't seen it yet. We're talking about the adoption of sons. Well, what's the adoption of sons? It's the redemption of our body. That glorification that we've been talking about. Chosen to be holy and blameless, predestined to adoption and praise. Look at verse 6. He's predestinated us to the adoption of children, and He's predestinated us to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, to the praise of the glory of His grace. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 11. 2 Thessalonians 1:11. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith with power, that at the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in Him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. The praise of the glory of His grace. Because of God's grace, the good pleasure of His will, His good will toward us, God has blessed us with this great grace that we would be glorified and that Christ should be glorified. In our text it says that it was all done according to the good pleasure of His will. This good pleasure is kind of interesting because if you look in Luke chapter 2 and verse 14, the angels say, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. And that goodwill that the angels proclaim to those men on that first Christmas night is the same thing as God's good pleasure. What is this goodwill? What is this good pleasure? Well, it's God's desire. It's the same word that Paul used when he says, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. It's God's desire. It's God's goodwill towards us. It's His good pleasure. It's not, some people want to make it like almost some kind of arbitrary thing that God wants some people to be saved and some people not to be saved, that it's just His good pleasure, whatever He feels like. No, it's God's will, God's desire that everybody should be saved. And it's God's will and God's desire, and it's His will towards you that you're going to give praise to the name of God because of Jesus. Amen. We think about praising God. Most of you that have been in church your lives, when you think about praise and worship, you think about a song service at church. And I want you to know today that a song service at church is only a tiny part of praise and worship. The way you live when you go home from here after church tonight, the way you live your life before others, that's praise. Should be praise. When you're in town tomorrow and you stop to get some gasoline or you got to run to the store or whatever, and you take out a gospel tract and you hand it to somebody and you tell them about what Christ has done in your life, that's praise. You guys with me? When you've been struggling with some temptation or sin in your life and you fall on your face before God and you pray for His help and you put away that sin and you put on the righteousness of Jesus Christ, that's praise to God. It's not singing songs. That's just a small part of it. Praising God is the way we live our life day by day. See, praise is an outward expression of the change that's happened in our heart. And God has done all that He's done so that we could glorify Jesus Christ. Listen to me, please. When we fail to share the gospel, that is not praising Jesus Christ. When we fail to give God glory for the good things in our life, that's not praising the Lord Jesus Christ. He has predestinated us to adoption. He's predestined us to praise to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. This word accepted, guys, I know some of you guys are as tired as I am, but stay with me because you don't want to miss this. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 28, God sends an angel to a young virgin named Mary. Now, how highly do you esteem Mary in your heart today? I hope very highly. She is to be regarded highly, to esteemed highly. Praise God that there was a young woman that God chose to bring Christ into the world through. Amen. And do you know what the angel from God said to Mary? He said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored." Mary was a special young woman. Wasn't she? Amen. Of all the young Jewish women of all the ages, she was the one. And Jesus Christ came into this world born of a woman in the fullness of time. That meant that all of humanity, all the history of mankind, God chose that young woman at that place, at that time, against millions of others, hundreds of millions of others, of potential candidates. God chose that one. And what He said about her was that she was highly favored. Amen. Did you know that phrase, "thou that art highly favored," is the same exact word as accepted in Ephesians chapter 1? We are accepted in Christ. You know what that means? God has highly favored you. God's grace has been on you. As special as Mary was to be chosen by God, God says, everybody who puts their faith in My Son Jesus, they are accepted. Everyone who comes to Me by faith in Christ is highly favored in My eyes. Man, I hope y'all think that's good, because that's good. Chosen to be holy and blameless, predestined to adoption and praise, and redeemed through His blood. Look at verse 7. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. In whom we have redemption, we are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. The word redemption, it means ransomed. It means that there was a price for us, and Christ was willing to pay that price. We were sold under sin, but Jesus paid the price of sin. The wages of sin is death. And he came and paid that penalty. He paid that price, and he redeemed us. He ransomed us. He paid the price. And when he was on the cross, he said, "It is finished," paid in full. And he did everything that was required to redeem mankind. He paid the price, and he did it through his blood. Colossians 1:20, "And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven." And it's by the blood of Jesus Christ that we are redeemed. It's by his blood that we have peace with God. Hebrews 9:12, "Neither by the blood of goats or calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." And if you repent of your sin and unbelief, you put your faith in Jesus Christ, that redemption price that was paid will apply to your account. You can be redeemed, set free, ransomed, bought back, made at peace with God, reconciled to God. All of that is only possible through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And through his blood, what do we have? Even the forgiveness of sins. And friends, only God can forgive sin. It's a problem. Matthew 26:28, "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." I talked to a man who was of a different religion one time. He was a Muslim. And he told me how he prayed every day. "I pray every day. I pray every day." I said, "But who's going to pay for your sin? How are you going to pay for your sin? What about the judgment? What about the penalty for your sin?" He said, "But I pray every day. I pray every day." Listen to me. Understand this perfectly. You can pray from here until eternity, and if you don't repent and trust in Christ and his sacrifice, all that praying will be for nothing. Amen. Asking for forgiveness. That's not it, friends. It's repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's faith. It's trusting in what he did for us is all that it takes for us to have eternal life. And we have redemption through his blood. Why? According to the riches of his grace. How rich do you think God's grace is? Romans 11:32 says, "For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." I want to tell you, the riches of his grace are unsearchable. The depths are inexhaustible, and he has grace that is sufficient for you. He has grace that's sufficient for your mom and your dad and your grandma and your grandpa, your aunts and your uncles and your cousins. He's got grace that's sufficient for your coworkers and your classmates. He's got grace that's sufficient for our neighbors here in town. He's got grace that's sufficient for everybody in this entire state. He's got grace that's sufficient for the whole country. He's got grace that's sufficient for the whole world. His grace is sufficient. You know all those Muslim terrorists that are cutting off the heads of Christians? He's got grace that's sufficient for them. His grace is incredible. Amazing grace. Paul says in Ephesians 3:8, "Unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." You see what we're doing right here in Ephesians 1? We're starting to get a few shovelfuls as we dig down into the treasure. We're starting to see just a little glimpse. There's a little glimmer, a little shine from the riches of his grace. Chosen to be holy and blameless, predestined to adoption and praise. And friends, he has given unto us an understanding of the mystery of his will. Look down at verse 9. "Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted Christ. God has mysteries in the New Testament. The mystery is something that's revealed in the New Testament that was hidden in the Old Testament. And the mystery is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the great mysteries of the church is that God would tear down the middle wall of partition, and he would take all of those Jews, all of Israel, and all that he had done in his covenant relationship with them, and he would end that old covenant, and he would make a new covenant, not just with Israel, but with all who would come to him through Christ. Amen. And it would be Jews and Gentiles all together brought into one body in the Lord Jesus Christ. This was a mystery in the Old Testament. This was something that was hard for the Jews to understand, but what a glory it is for us. We are wild beasts. And God has taken us and grafted us in to his people, Israel. This is an amazing truth. That God has taken us Gentiles, wicked, filthy, ungodly, unholy Gentiles, and he's made us part of his chosen people. Amen. Why? Because we are in Christ. And if you're in Christ, you are his, and if you are not in Christ, you are none of his. It all came in the fullness of times that God would bring his church together. Not just people, but everything in heaven and everything in earth. There would be no separation. He would make it all one. We've been given an inheritance that 1 Peter says is incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away. We are predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things for what? That we should be to the praise of his glory. We are predestinated that we should be to the praise of his glory. In other words, friends, when you and I stand before the throne of God, that's going to bring praise to God the Father. We are his joy. We are his crown of rejoicing who come to God by faith in Christ. Where does this all come from? I want you to look very quickly at verse 13. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Where does all of this predestination, all of this choosing, all of those things come from? It comes from you hearing the gospel, believing the gospel, and trusting with all your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see it? It's right there. All of this. All of this. We should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye believed, in whom also ye trusted, after ye heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. I have a question for you this morning while we get ready for an invitation. Have you heard the gospel? I don't just mean were you in the room while somebody preached it. I mean, have you heard it with understanding? Have you heard it with ears to hear? Have you heard it with a heart to believe? Have you heard the gospel? Have you heard that God loved you so much he sent Jesus Christ? Even though we were sinners, he came and died for our sins, and he rose again the third day. Have you heard that God loves you so much, he died for you? And though we deserve, rightly deserve, eternal damnation, he offers us everlasting life. If you heard it, do you believe it? Have you trusted in it? Have you trusted in Christ with all your heart? I'm saying today, friend, listen, are you 100% sure when you die you're going to be in heaven with God? Do you know that beyond a shadow of doubt? Because 1 John 5:13 says that these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Do you know you have eternal life today? If you don't, I plead with you to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are saved, Friend, rejoice in the blessings God has given you, and let it motivate us to live for Him with all our heart. He's chosen us, predestinated us. He has called us His own children. Let's live like we belong to God. Let's stand together. We're going to sing one number. Number 524. The Holy Spirit's convicting your heart. Would you come? You need to trust Jesus today. You need to make a decision for Him today. Would you come?